Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to have you in studio once again.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Launching into a discussion of estate taxes, and you make the provocative statement that estate taxes are optional?
Oh, yeah.
You've heard me say that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, estate taxes. I mean, who doesn't want to talk about taxes? They're just so exciting and so riveting. But you know what? It really is a driving motivator for many individuals, which is we've paid taxes to earn money. We've paid taxes to create it. And now the thought of having to pay another tax if I die is oftentimes something that people just do not want to do. So they want to have the discussion of what does it mean to have an estate tax? And I want to look for the next couple of shows at what does it mean to have an estate tax? We have different types of estate taxes. So, and as you said, you know, estate taxes, they truly are optional. There's ways to mitigate, even fully eliminate estate taxes. And this is one of the taxes that really is optional. You know, income tax, everyone's got to pay income tax.
Right.
I have business owners all the time, and if their business is having a really good year, they come to me. How can I – who do I talk to about not paying as many income taxes? Well, it's like, well, don't work as hard. So
right.
Don't make as much money this year because – There are different credits and stuff, and that's more of a CPA position. I don't do income taxes. But we have to pay income tax, and I'm not opposed to paying income taxes. That means I've done well. But estate taxes, well, that's a whole different ballgame. Estate taxes truly are optional. There are ways to mitigate or eliminate estate taxes. And so I wanted to take a couple moments because – there are impending changes on the federal level. There's things that are very stable in the Washington state estate tax. And it's really more and more people are becoming exposed specifically to the Washington state estate tax. And they may not even know it. And so I wanted to talk today and probably next week about, you know, estate taxes are optional. So we need to have a good foundation about it.
And there's both state estate taxes and federal estate taxes. There's two different ones?
Yeah, there are two different estate taxes that we need to talk about. And and then, again, that third tax is income. And people always kind of confuse them and mix the bag. And so we get looking at the federal, which is very high, versus the Washington state, versus income, versus capital gains tax. And all of these different taxes start to blend together. And it becomes a little confusing, to be honest, of which one are we talking about? Well, we're going to hunker down. We're going to talk about estate tax right now. Okay. And we're going to talk about the different types of estate tax. What does it what do they imply? And again, how can we potentially think through the process of if I don't want to pay that, Paul, then what does it mean that that these things are optional? And so what does it mean to be optional? Well, it means, number one, you got to have a plan. Having no plan in place is the worst plan at all. It is a plan. To do nothing is a plan.
Right.
And that is the worst type of plan, specifically when we're talking about estate taxes. And because there are opportunities to adjust things, then what doesn't, you know, having no plan then means you've taken into no consideration over it. So that is a plan. And the first step is that we got to have this issue well thought out. We need to sit down and talk about what does it mean to look at taxes in general, and what does it mean to potentially shift things so that they can be mitigated or eliminated. And so no plan is a plan.
And how many people you've raised before have that kind of a plan of no plan, but half the people out there
or
even higher.
Yeah, right. That's exactly correct, which is surveys.
Don't even have a will.
Yeah,
not even an online will.
Over half of Americans. And that, by the way, that's if you've reached the age of 65, which is an age of retirement. And that's when people really start thinking about, okay, I may have made something, or I don't have as much as I thought, so I need to protect what I have. That's when people really start thinking about this topic. Mm. And yet, more than half of 65-year-olds still have no plan at all. They have no will, no trust. They don't have power of attorneys. Even less people have end-of-life documents and health care directives. So it's 30%. So those are pretty slim numbers, unfortunately. Mm. And yeah, that's what I mean, is that most people don't give this consideration. And unfortunately, that is a plan, but it's just a bad plan. Right. And so we need to have this conversation again. More and more people are becoming exposed to this issue because just the prices of housing alone, if you own a home but don't have a ton of cash, you may be precariously closer to a Washington state estate tax than what you think. Mm. And so it nabs people faster than what the general public is used to, because some of our prices have just escalated so quickly, and we don't take the time to really sit down and have a realistic perspective of what our estate is worth. Therefore, it's lulled us to sleep that more and more people are becoming exposed to Washington state estate tax. Mm. So we really got to have this conversation. We need to understand the different types of taxes that we're talking about.
Okay, well, right off the bat, what's the difference between an estate tax and an inheritance tax? We hear these two terms. Are they the same thing?
Right, and a lot of people, again, mix those up. So an estate tax is the perspective that when someone passes away, we take a value of everything that's in their estate. And I mean everything. Mm. I mean, do you have a life insurance policy? So we think that life insurance policies are quote-unquote tax-free. Well, they are income tax-free. Remember, we have all these different types of taxes. Mm. They're income tax-free to the receiver, but they are not estate tax-free. So, for example, if I had $1 million to my name, but I had $1 million life insurance policy, just so that numbers are super easy, that life insurance policy, because I control it, because I name the beneficiary, the estate tax world says, because Paul controlled that policy, we add it to his estate tax value. So when someone passes away, we have to add up the total of their bank accounts, their investments, their 401ks, their IRAs, their Roth IRAs, the value of their home, the value of annuities, vacation properties, vehicles, personal property, life insurance policies, everything. Every rock has to be turned over, and we have to find the value. And so in an estate tax, we're adding up everything that a person owns, and we look at what day did you pass away. So for example, the stock market changes on a daily basis. So if I pass away on a Wednesday, I'm looking at the close of the stock market on that day. And I look at that, the value of my portfolio as of that snapshot in time, the date of death is what we call it. The date that I've passed away, we're going to value everything. And that ends up collectively being how much am I worth? Now, we do get to reduce debts. And so if I had a $800,000 home, but I have a $400,000 mortgage, well, $400,000 of what I own, not the whole value of the home, $800,000, so it would be accredited to my estate. So we do get to reduce debt load against the value. So we're trying to find a net value for my estate. Now, an estate tax then is that we're going to take that number and we're going to compare it to the Washington law and the federal law and make a determination of whether or not I have more than what I'm allowed to have. Because if I do, then I have to file an estate tax return and we may have to pay a tax. Who pays that tax? The estate does, not the beneficiary. So if you have multiple beneficiaries, they're all sharing the burden of that estate tax because it comes from the estate.
Right.
We have to pay the tax.
Comes out of the pile before the pile is totally distributed.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, it's everybody sharing it. Now, an inheritance tax is different. And more states are getting rid of inheritance tax. I think there's only 5 states left that have an inheritance tax. Mm. But if you have a beneficiary that lives in one of these states – and you pass away even in Washington because they've received an inheritance, that state is going to look at what did you receive. So we could pay a Washington state estate tax. And if you are a resident of a wrong state, then that state may also say, tell us what you received in your inheritance. Mm. We're going to look at what you've received. Now we're looking at the beneficiary's perspective. Mm. Instead of the decedent's perspective, and they are going to impose a tax on the receiving portion.
So some states still have that.
They do. Yeah.
Okay. But Washington is not one of them.
Washington does not have it. That's correct.
So the beneficiary has to still pay taxes on whatever they inherited.
That's an inheritance tax. Right. Now, a lot of people mix these terminologies. Mm-hmm. They come in and go, well, we don't want to pay an inheritance tax. Well, mm-hmm. good news, you're not going to in Washington. But what they really mean is the estate tax. So these terms in the public are mixed up, but that's really the true difference between an estate perspective versus an inheritor's perspective. And who pays the tax is really the difference between those.
Okay, well then what estate taxes currently exist in Washington and what are their limits?
Yeah, so we've got 2 major estate taxes that we have to uncover. The first is Washington, like you just said, but the second is the federal limit. So let's deal with Washington. It's a lower limit than what the federal is. Mm. In Washington, now let me be just a little bit geeky because I'm talking about taxes. Mm. Like this whole show isn't geeky enough for today, but that's okay. Let me kind of go into a little bit further geek mode. Technically, there's a thing called an exemption. Now, the exemption is what amount of money is exempt from the Washington state estate tax. We like tax-exempt money. Mm. And so the technical term is how much is exempt before I am exposed to the tax. So the exemption amount in Washington is $2,193,000. And this is what I mean, and that's per person. So if you're married, you get to double that, and I can't do that. So it's just a little bit under $4.4 million. So again, $2,193,000. So we're going to use 2.2 as a general number just so I don't have to keep saying a really long sentence. So around $2.2 million is what is exempt. Now, I mentioned more and more people are becoming precariously close to this number. Why? Because it's really difficult to find a house anywhere in the Pacific Northwest unless you go Marysville or further north, or you go south of Olympia, up and over the mountains would be a place where you can find it. But on the Issaquah Plateau and every place else, homes are just becoming so expensive that if you purchase a home and you live there for a period of time, or let's say you are in your 70s and you bought your home for $20,000 and you've never moved and you haven't had a mortgage for ages, well, that $20,000 home is now worth $800,000. It's now worth $1 million. Mm-hmm. And unless we know how much your home is worth, your real estate, and what if you have a rental property and you have multiple properties. Well, all of a sudden, someone is much closer to $2 million than what is expected. Mm-hmm. And so this is why more and more people are becoming exposed or getting very close to an estate tax in Washington. So it's a pretty low barometer. And by the way, the original law set back in 2006 is when this was introduced. So it was we have not always had an estate tax in Washington. It's actually reasonably new in comparatively. And so this was set out in 2006. And when the law was created, It actually adjusted for inflation. So it kept moving up every year. Mm. About 7 years ago or so, I can't exactly remember the date or the year, that inflation portion has stopped. It's for no other reason other than it's a bad definition. So they used certain cities and to determine the inflation, and Washington State changed which cities they're going to use to judge inflation by. So therefore, the estate tax law have three cities that are no longer considered to be used for inflationary purposes. So therefore, they can't keep raising it by the rate of inflation. So therefore, it's stuck. It's done. It could be a simple answer. Washington state legislators could go in and simply change one city in the estate tax, but they haven't done it. Mm. Why have they not done it, Mark? Because they want the tax.
Right.
Because they don't want the rate of inflation to continue to be added. So therefore, the Washington state estate tax no longer rises by the rate of inflation.
Which therefore, is huge in the last couple of years.
Oh, it's
so much inflation.
Yeah, boy, yeah. The past 12 to 18 months has been atrocious, hasn't it? So therefore, it would have been very nice to have that increase in the estate tax in Washington, but we don't have it. So we're going to start right there with that. Washington State has an estate tax. It's a little under $2.2 million. More and more people are exposed to it, but we're up against a break right now.
Yeah, this is interesting discussion, how to avoid these estate taxes. It can be done with proper estate planning.
It can.
And Paul would love to help you with your estate. How can people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Paul is delving into the world of estate taxes this week. Estate taxes are optional with proper planning, and he's going to discuss this more. We talked a little bit about some of the Washington State estate tax limits, and you want to talk a little bit more about the federal ones as well now.
Yeah, there are two estate taxes, Washington and the federal estate tax. They're very different numbers, both with how much you have to pay in tax and the exemption. Remember, that exemption is how much is exempt from the tax. So in Washington, $2.2 million approximately. On the federal limit, 13.6. Wow, that's a number. It's never been that high in all of history. We have one more year where it's going to raise. And then there's going to be a sunset clause in the law. We'll talk about that more. So that means as a married couple, you've got a little over $27 million that you can have in your estate combined before an estate tax on the federal is implemented. So these are really big numbers. There's a huge disparity between them. 2.2 versus 13.6. Now, the amount of tax, if you exceed the exemption, is also quite dramatic. Washington State would start at a 15% tax. It's almost like a capital gains tax. As a matter of fact, if you're right at that limit, from my perspective, I don't want to charge you to save taxes because most of the time When it is going to be cashed out by your ultimate beneficiaries, then we've put in appreciated property. And it's going to be the same exact tax. It's either a capital gain at 15% or it's an estate tax at 15%. Mm. Now, that changes night and day with a federal estate tax. Now, again, the amounts are very different, but so for the exemption, but so is the amount of tax. So if you are caught under the federal estate tax, that is a 40% tax.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty high.
So can you imagine if you have 30,
almost half of your estate, if you're above those exemptions?
Well, and actually, because you would be exposed to a Washington state tax, we know this because it's 2.2. So you've already started to pay a graduating estate tax in Washington. By the time you hit $8 million, it's gone up to 21% in Washington. Okay, so it's a graduating a number. It starts at 15, and then it goes up to the maximum of 21%. So by the time you are exposed to a federal estate tax, the minimum that you are going to leak out the back end is 55% between the two taxes.
Wow.
So that's a staggering amount. So it's actually more than half. If you have been very blessed in your life and you have built a very nice estate, if you've inherited money and it wasn't protected properly and it came into your hands and you haven't used it and you've invested it wisely and it's built for you, or if you've worked hard and you've built a company, there's so many different ways. Maybe you were just working for the right company at the right time and they went public and it exploded. So all these different ways that people gain wealth. But if you had $20 million and you were single, and let's use $14 million, so that's a $6 million exposure rate, you're going to lose over half of that. You're going to lose $3 million to taxes. And by the way, that's optional. That's optional. And so, so Washington State has a graduating system. It gradually gets higher and higher. The federal is not. It's a fixed rate. But the numbers are really, really different. And therefore, those are the two taxes that we talk about as far as what do we look at, what currently exists, and what are their limits.
Okay. Well, if these taxes are optional, then what are some of the initial fixes that should be considered?
Yeah. So I've been throwing that word around, optional.
Okay, well, prove it.
That's right. Good call. So number one is that everyone needs strong foundational planning for their estate. So the first thing to do is make sure that you have an estate plan. We talked earlier, 50% of Americans do not have an estate tax, and that's when you're 65 or older. So number one, we have to resolve that, because no planning simply means we are going to pay all these taxes and we are at the mercy of the taxing system. No plan. No options. So number one, we have to create options, and foundational planning can begin the process. First of all, this is per person. So there are ways to use a revocable living trust and ensure that we are going to use both of the spouse's exemptions. So I'm married, which means in Washington, I get $2.2 million exempted. And my wife gets $2.2 million exempted. Now, if I used a will, or if I used an old estate plan, or if I just simply have my wife on as a beneficiary of all my assets, and I don't do proper planning, when I die, my wife gets everything, right? And so, great. She moves everything. Let's say for this story that I have $3 million to my name. My wife and I have $3 million as an example. Now, if I die and my wife is the beneficiary of everything, ultimately, how much does she have? $3 million, because that's the storyline. Well, what happened to my exemption? I didn't use it. I forfeited it because I simply gave my wife everything to her and she took it upon my death. Therefore, when she passes away, let's say that she doesn't spend one penny and she doesn't gain one penny. Of course, impossible, but easy story. When she dies, she now only gets the same exemption amount, a tick under $2.2 million. That means we have an $800,000 exposure. Mm. We could have saved that, okay, $800,000 at 15%. So we could have saved that by using a revocable living trust foundational strong planning, because that is the premise of a revocable living trust. It takes advantage of my exemption and my wife's exemption and then ensures that the surviving spouse has access to everything. Mm. So planning is the key. Planning is everything. If you don't plan, you have no ability for any options. But when we sit down and we start good foundational planning, then base tax language is a part of that plan. And all of a sudden, we've started to now resolve the tax picture instead of being exposed to an unnecessary tax. It's optional, but you have to come in and you've got to start the planning.
And your company is called Planning with Purpose.
It is.
And estate taxes are optional. We'll continue this discussion next time, but people are intrigued. They want to find out more about your services, Paul.
Head over to legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
This is the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.